answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
It's important to understand Joe Biden has been the most anti-Israel president the United States has ever had. From the very beginning of the Biden administration, this administration has undermined the government of Israel at every step. They've done so systematically. They've done so at a granular level. He is surrounded by radical anti-Israel activists. In his administration, his lead negotiator on Iran, Rob Malley, who's been fired, had his security clearance revoked because presumably of violations sharing secrets somehow with Iran. His top three advisors, or three of his top three advisors, were Iranian operatives working for the Iranian Foreign Ministry, working essentially as spies on behalf of the government of Iran, undermining the U.S. government. Since October 7th, since the October 7th attack began, the Biden administration at every stage has worked to undermine Israel.
It has worked to undermine Israel and continues to do so. Those are the words of Texas Senator Ted Cruz. You're going to hear a lot more from him coming up in this first part of this first hour. This is the first of 2 hours, back to back, right here for you, every Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 p.m., of Larry Connors USA. And reminding you, while we're on the air, we're also streaming video. You can see the video at Larry Connors USA Facebook, Twitter. You can also go to News Talk STL Facebook and Twitter, or Rumble. We're on a lot of platforms. Hard to miss us. But just in case you do miss any part of either program, audio or video of any hour, you can always go to LarryConnorsUSA.com. LarryConnorsUSA.com, and you'll find everything. And when you watch it at your leisure, which you always can do, listen and or watch, share it with others. Get the word out. You're helping make this show bigger and better every day. I thank you. So here was Senator Ted Cruz talking about where we stand right now, in the sense of Biden has been not for Israel from the very beginning. We have seen, of course, that Biden has made overtures to Israel, trying to say that he'll come on in and help out. He's trying to say that. But then again, what does he do when he gets back into the country here after he leaves the Prime Minister Netanyahu? He immediately is besieged by the left as they rally on the Capitol and in the D.C. area in the beginning, shouting out for PLO. And Hamas is not just the Palestinian state for these people. It is the fact that they basically endorse what Hamas did. Well, we are going to break down a lot of that for you, but what we have going on right now is the fact that all of these efforts, anything Biden says to you and to the public and to the Israeli prime minister, when he gets in a room with his fellow progressive leftist Democrats, he walks a different walk.
The Biden administration at every stage has worked to undermine Israel. As the attack was happening on the night of October 7th, the State Department tweeted out a call for Israel not to engage in retaliation, saying violence never solves anything. They did that at 3 in the morning. 3 in the morning, I responded, said this was disgraceful. Whoever wrote this tweet should be fired. Within minutes, they deleted the tweet. The next day, Tony Blinken, the Secretary of State, sent another tweet saying he'd just spoken with the Turkish foreign minister and Israel should engage in an immediate ceasefire. Again, I blasted it online, said this was disgraceful. Again, they deleted it. Since then, Joe Biden has flown to Israel, urged Israel do not retaliate against Hamas. Since then, Tony Blinken has flown to Israel, urged Israel do not retaliate against Hamas. At every stage, they are pushing for Israel not to eradicate Hamas, for Israel to engage in a ceasefire, for Israel to engage in a pause.
They want constantly a pause. Now, the whole idea of the pause is, of course, is to get hostages. We all want these hostages released. But they could have given them all at one time. But that was not the game plan, and we know it. We are being played by Hamas. But lives are at stake. So what's your choice? At some point, you're going to say, we're not going to continue giving you more and more days. We're now in another extension of 2 days. And we're supposedly going to get maybe 20 more hostages. That would still leave them 200 or less. We're not sure. Because there had never been clear exactly how many were taken. However, every day, there's a pause in the firing, a pause in any kind of shooting or attacks or anything else. Hamas is gearing up with more and more. Keep in mind all these cargo trucks that are coming in now to bring relief aid to those basically that are in need, the Palestinians, who had nothing to do with what Hamas carried out. And they are as innocent victims as the ones who were in Israel. I mean, when they're firing rockets from your apartment next door, there's nothing you can do about it. And when Israel responds to hit that rocket installation and it destroys your apartment, maybe kills one of your family members, you're going to blame Hamas? You don't dare say so. Not if you live there. You join them in complaining about Israel. And yet you know if they hadn't put that rocket launcher in the midst of your civilian population, it would not have happened that way. This pause also is being utilized, obviously, to the best extent it can by the Mossad, the secret intel agency for Israel, along with the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, trying to get additional information on the hostages and where some might be and when we might see more. But let me give you some basics that have been coming back. There is another exchange underway, again, through the pause today, but there's also been a story that has surfaced that says Hamas lost track of some hostages, and they don't know who has them. And there was another story where Hamas was trading over some of the hostages they had to another terrorist group, supposedly in Gaza. Now, whether or not they're based there or what, we're not sure. But they're exchanging them for others to get additional arms from these other terrorist groups. You have to keep in mind the issue is we have lives at stake, but at some point you're going to have to counter that with how many more lives could be in jeopardy. Senator Cruz.
The Israeli war cabinet voted to approve this deal, and I understand why. Bringing those hostages home is a major accomplishment. And I think it's critical as we bring those hostages home that we do not allow this pause to become fuel for leftists and the Biden administration to pummel Israel and say, do not return to the task of eliminating Hamas. The government of Israel has said they're going to utterly eradicate Hamas. And if and when they do so, that will be good for Israel. That will be good for America. That will be good for the world. And we need to, when the hostages have come home, we need to return to the task of eliminating these monsters that committed these atrocities.
Yeah, we have to continue that. We cannot let up. It's got to be done on a constant basis. But too many, as they see what's at stake, and of course, if it's your loved one that's still being held, you don't want it to end now. You want them to continue ceasefire. Do whatever you have to. Well, at some point, there's going to be a decision made that even though the Israeli cabinet was willing to go along with it, they're going to reach a point where they're going to say, we're going to go back to fighting. God help those hostages still being held. Now, possibly, the IDF, Mossad, with additional intel, maybe on the ground from Palestinians, know where some of these hostages are, and we'll still be able to get to them. They still need to be in your prayers, as do those who are trying to rescue them. But Hamas is not going to simply give everything away in one day, because they know they would be bombed to hell and back. That's why they continue to filter, let gradually a few more go and a few more. Oh, We got more. You want, but we're going to need more ceasefire. And the longer that kind of thing goes on, the more cries come from the left, the United Nations, and other nations saying, don't fire, don't continue firing on Gaza. You're hurting innocent civilians. That would be true. But that's not the intent. Once again, Senator Cruz on evaluating this ceasefire.
When it comes to this deal, I understand why Israel entered into it. I think Prime Minister Netanyahu, I think he is truly an historic figure. I know him well. You know him well. I think he appreciates the weight of history on his shoulders. And he made this deal. This deal has multiple negative consequences. One of the consequences is in exchange for these hostages being released, Israel is released roughly 150 Palestinians. Some significant number of those were involved in terrorism and likely will return to terrorism. So they are releasing people who will try to kill more innocent civilians. Secondly, this pause. The pause in the military attack on Gaza means Hamas has time to rebuild. They're allowing roughly 300 trucks a day to come in from Egypt with aid, including fuel. That fuel is restocking Hamas. The consequence of this is Hamas will be more difficult to defeat.
They will be more difficult. Because every day we give them this additional time, they're going to use it. They're going to use it to their opportunity. They're going to use it to the detriment of the Israeli forces trying to rescue hostages. They're going to use it to the detriment of Israeli forces trying to destroy Hamas. And they're going to use it to hide more equipment, munitions, and command leaders. And all these trucks that are coming in, if they're bringing in fuel, that fuel is going to go direct to the use of Hamas, and its terrorist activities will continue, will escalate. Keep in mind, not a single Arab state is willing to take any of the Palestinians from Gaza. Not one. Egypt is right there. They don't want them. The Safir Gate, the one gate that is open. I said Safir, that's the hospital. I'm sorry. The gate that is open, that opens and closes as Egypt decides to let folks in or out. They're not letting Palestinians through that gate into Egypt. They don't want them there. And no other Arab nation stepping up to want them. And as I said a moment ago, there apparently are some hostages that even Hamas has lost track of. How would that happen? Did they turn them over to someone else? We do know that supposedly they did do that with some. Did some escape, possibly, and are in hiding? We're a long ways from this being over, and every hour that there's a ceasefire, Hamas is preparing for another round of battle, as is Israel. All right, on another subject, next week, listen clearly here, next week we might start to get a better understanding of the Hunter Biden scheme to enrich Hunter Biden, everybody in the family, including Daddy. Now, remember I said that we might.
Breaking news from the Hill, Hunter Biden apparently is now offering to testify before a House Oversight Committee. If the committee takes him up on the offer, it would be the first time he would appear under oath in a public forum. Fox News legal editor Carrie Kupak-Urban watching this story out of D.C. What do we know, Carrie, at this hour? Hello.
Good morning, Bill. So what we know so far, the committee had subpoenaed Hunter Biden back in November, asking him to come in for a closed door deposition in December. Hunter Biden's lawyer just responded yesterday with a letter to the committee saying, okay, we'll come in for this deposition. But in fact, we want to make it public. We want to do this in front of everyone, in front of cameras.
Yeah. Now, that's an interesting aspect. Hunter Biden deciding that he wants to come in and start speaking, and he wants it in public. He could have done it behind doors. What's the legal rationale and reasoning for that? I don't pretend to be a lawyer in any fashion, but in listening to other experts, the belief is that, well, if Hunter Biden comes forward and he's speaking directly and it's in public, we all know the prime target would be Joe Biden. But maybe he'll invoke some sympathy and show, hey, you know, I made mistakes and so forth, and I pulled my family into it, and a woe is me for what I've done to my family. It's going to be a great soap opera and drama all in one, if that's what he wants to do. Now, will it work? That's the other key. If he's volunteering to come in, Hunter Biden, and I'll talk to them, and I'll do it in an open session for everyone to watch, it'll be must-watch TV. Make no mistake about it. Get several bags of popcorn and watch what happens. Now, this follows, his decision to do that follows a subpoena that got sent out yesterday, and that was sent to Joe Biden's brother, James Biden. Lisa McClain, New York Congresswoman, explains what they wanted to get from James Biden.
We want to know what role these family members played in this Biden culture of corruption. So I'm excited and interested to hear his testimony. I'm also encouraged, even though they're fighting us at every turn, to actually get Hunter Biden in to testify, to get the truth from him as well, to really see what is going on and did they have information that put our national security at risk? We believe they did. And at every turn, you know, whether it's the 1023s, whether it's the IRS slow walking the statute of limitations to let that run out, everywhere you turn, it's been cover up after cover up after cover up. And my hat off to Jamie Comer to uncover what is actually going on in the Biden family, to be able to connect the dots, to show money from China, for example, to these shell companies, to James Biden, to ultimately writing checks to Joe Biden.
Yeah, that's what we want to know about those checks that James Biden wrote and supposedly noted on the check, loan repayment, something of that nature. Now, there are two issues here. There's no reason James Biden cannot loan Joe Biden some money or take a loan from Joe Biden. But if it's a loan of any type, and of course, then they can decide whatever interest. I'm going to give it to you, brother. No charge, no interest whatsoever. But it's still money that goes to another party. So they have received money. They have to report such received money on income tax, because we're talking about 200 plus thousand minimum. If it wasn't reported, there's another crime in the making. We'll find out. In the next hour, Iran hackers are suspected of carrying out an attack on a U.S. water supply. Could it be the first of many? That'll be coming up in the next hour. Later in this hour, our education secretary gets an F. He gets an F because he doesn't bother to study history, and he makes one of the biggest boo-boos he could have made. And boy, are we laughing and mocking him. My guest coming up says that the U.S. should not be pushing Israel to accept a Palestinian state. Yeah, the U.S. is trying to tell Israel what it should be doing. That's wrong in every way. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Hundreds of homeowners and businesses had or will have water main breaks. Wellington Environmental has a warning. You can clean up the water, but if you're not checking areas where the water leaked in the walls where you can't see it, you could end up exposing your family, your employees, your clients to hazardous mold. Wellington Environmental reminds you, if that mold is not detected, properly treated, removed, that is a risk, a liability you do not want. Wellington clients, including hospitals and schools, trust Wellington to make their environments safe. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930,
AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau, 314-644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world, cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30 on News Talk STL.
Planning a party with family, friends, maybe a business party? Cafe Napoli has four locations, and each has rooms to fit your needs. But a word to the wise, book early. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. Also get some Cafe Napoli gift cards, good for all locations, anytime. I'll see you at Cafe Napoli.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you why pay more than four. In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets' ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner of Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444. 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
You want to give a unique gift this holiday? I suggest Stolach Whiskey, produced in Missouri. Stolach Whiskey, born of natural limestone filtered water from the Ozark Highlands, aged in Missouri oak. Stolach, so smooth. Trust me, you're going to enjoy it. So next time, ask for Stolach. Visit the website, stolach.com. Stolach, Stolloch, from Stone Ledge Distillery.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. My guest is David Harsanyi. He's the senior editor of the Federalist, and you got an excellent column out. As I said earlier, where does the U.S. stand in any ground that it can tell Israel what it should be doing? The title of this latest piece he put in the Federalist: No, the U.S. should not push Israel to create a Palestinian state. And you began by quoting, first of all, welcome aboard, David. I'm rushing ahead. Welcome aboard, sir.
Always a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm looking at, you begin with a quote from Senator Chris Murphy. He says, ultimately, the next Israeli government is going to have to put us back on a path to have a Palestinian state. Where does he come off of that idea to begin with?
Well, I guess it's been consensus among, like, you know, European Union and American presidents and, you know, others. Well, not Donald Trump, I don't think, but before him and basically the State Department and others, that it's inevitable that at some point there has to be another Palestinian state made. The first one, obviously, is Jordan, which no one really talks about. But
good point.
So because, you know, this has been going on since, I would say, the 2000s, you know, so people talk about it like it's an inevitability, no matter what Palestinians do, no matter how they act, no matter who they put in power. In fact, whenever it gets more violent, it seems to me like people want to reward them buying into this myth that if they had a state in Gaza, they wouldn't, you know, they would be more peaceful or something there, which I don't think any evidence shows is true.
Well, let's break this down very quickly. I mean, you mentioned Jordan, and of course the West Bank is PLO controlled, and Israel had given Gaza itself to the PLO, and then it turned over to Hamas. So it's not that they haven't done it before, but there now with all this on, we still hear the cry for we must have from the river to the sea, which would mean Israel is wiped out.
Yeah, I mean, people constantly call, I see, you know, liberals mostly, but others as well, call Gaza an open-air prison and, you know, occupied and all that. Well, That's not exactly the case. In 2005, the Israelis handed over Gaza to the Palestinian Authority. They forcibly removed almost 10,000 Jewish people who live there because they would be murdered by these people.
Sure.
So, and they left a bunch of infrastructure for farming and all kinds of stuff. Rich Jewish benefactors here in the United States sent millions of dollars to the people in Gaza. So what did they do? They burned down those places. They destroyed those greenhouses they had. They had a little mini civil war. The PLO was overturned and Hamas took over. So now what happens if they have a state, and that happens in the West Bank? I don't know if people realize how close the border there is to big population centers. Imagine if they had missiles there. Like, why would Israel help create a three border terror state around them in a small, small country? That's, you know, they already have, you know, so imagine Hezbollah. They have hundreds of, maybe 100,000 missiles, much more technologically advanced than the ones that they shoot from Hamas.
And they have been firing into Israel already.
Exactly. Now imagine three borders like that around a country the size of New Jersey. I mean, what country would do that? We wouldn't do that.
No
sane electorate would vote for people who did that. Especially right after attack. It's like arguing on October of 2001 that the Taliban needs another state. I mean, no sane person would have argued for that. And yet that is exactly what, you know, Chris Murphy, who's a big, you know, let's face it, a big booster of the Iranian regime. That's what he thinks should happen. Well, I'm not sure Israel that should happen. And I don't think any ally should push an ally to do that.
So I must call to attention, you used a four-letter word there, and I know I don't know that you could use that word with Senator Murphy. I think you used the word sane.
Yeah, he is not one of my favorites. I mean, I think basically he's an authoritarian, frankly. But you know, whatever the case, I mean, he's not the only one who says this. I think Joe Biden mentioned it as well. This two-state solution. Now, you know. There's no inevitable. There are many, many minorities around the world who do not have countries,
right.
You know, and many of them live within Arab countries and Islamic countries who are Islamic themselves, like the Kurds or others who have a far better claim to having their own state. And no one speaks up for them. Why? Because they don't blow things up, because they're not killing Jews there. I mean, I don't really understand why the Palestinians get this kind of special consideration.
Did you just nail it when you said they're not killing Jews, that it's really a Jewish hatred behind? I mean, we all know it's behind it regarding Hamas and these others, but that's the difference between the Kurds or anything else. We're talking about Jews, that they want to exterminate Jews.
I definitely, I think that there's a big anti-Semitism there, but I also think it's wound up in sort of this fairy tale that there's colonialism going on by Westerners. You know, I think if Israel was a Christian country, you'd probably see the same exact thing happening as you do now, you know? So, but I do in many ways think it's important for Jews to have a state considering the history, even recent history. And even this shows you why they need to protect themselves. And a lot of people, I don't know if Chris Murphy is one of them, but they would rather see Jews be, you know, as victims. And many Jewish people are this way. I myself am Jewish, so I can say this, I guess. But many liberal Jews are more comfortable being victims than watching people who are Jewish fight back. And that is, you know, but it's not, you know, Israel is a country as well, right? So it has to look out for its citizens like any other country would, and no country would allow this sort of thing to happen.
And speaking of Israel looking out for citizens, they were allowing Palestinians to come to work in Jerusalem and Israel, where they can actually earn money, because Gaza is one of those S-holes, as referred to by Trump in the past anyway. They were allowing them to come in to earn money and then go back. I mean, obviously they had to go through crossing buffer zones and security checks. Now it turns out that maybe they were smuggling some weapons in to be ready for this, but they were actually helping the Palestinians. Where is the thought that it was occupied and controlled, that they couldn't do anything?
Oh yeah. They were letting, I think the number is 10,000 people come into work in Israel. I mean, does anyone with a brain really believe that if people in Gaza were peaceful and were, you know, had institutions there that worked and traded and worked and built a society that Israel wouldn't want that. I mean, of course they want that.
They're on the Mediterranean Sea. They've got ports. It'd be a perfect location.
Of course. I mean, Israel has, the whole idea that Israel took this place and invaded it and wanted it is a myth in itself. They were attacked and they wanted a defensive war in 1967. They've offered it back numerous times for recognition and peace. Egyptians don't want it because Hamas is basically the Muslim Brotherhood, and they wouldn't want more Muslim Brotherhood fans within their country. Jordanians don't want the West Bank back because that's a Palestinian majority state.
And Egypt doesn't want any Palestinians coming into their state. And the Palestinians, there is a distinction. I always want to point this out. Not every Palestinian is Hamas, but every Hamas is Palestinian.
And no one is born hating other people in this way. This is a cultural problem where they teach young people to be violent, to be hateful, and not all of them, but many of them. I mean, it's a myth. Let's just be honest. It's a myth that Hamas is not supported by the population. Every single poll that has ever been done there shows that it is. The reason they can't have an election in the West Bank is because Hamas or something like Hamas would win, and that would be terrible. So, you're supposed to give people like this a state? I mean, that is insanity.
You're listening to David Harsanyi, senior editor of The Federalist. I want to, in the last couple of minutes here, you raise a question in here, which I think Senator Murphy simply wants to gloss over, and many others. Does Murphy want to send in American troops to Gaza the next time that Israel gives it back to the Palestinians, and once again is controlled by Hamas? Is he willing to send American troops into Gaza to clean them out?
Well, my point there is, like, if you give Gaza a state, then all of a sudden you have a country. It's not just a territory. And then it launches missiles at Israel. Then it's an international incident. Then there's a war that is much more deadly. It's no skin off his back to say this, because he won't send American troops. I don't want American troops there either.
Right.
Israel can take care of itself. But he's not the one who's targeted. He's not the one who has to worry about missiles. And he's not the one who has to send armed forces in there to put them in danger or to be involved in a regional war. But if Israel creates a state, that's what's going to happen. And imagine what happens when Iran has nuclear weapons. What will they send to the Gaza state when it has unfettered access to any kind of trade it wants? I mean, that's a dangerous situation.
And, of course, many in the region think if Iran gets nuclear weapons, we're going to want some, too.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't blame them. I mean, Saudi Arabia and Iran are enemies as well. So that's a separate situation, but that's dangerous as well. And the reason we shouldn't want Iran to have nuclear weapons.
Very quickly, we're going through another ceasefire, a pause for hostages. We all want everyone we can get back, but it's drip, drip, drip to buy more time for Hamas. At what point do we say, unfortunately, those we don't have out, we're going back in and we're going to mop them up?
It's a really difficult situation because you want to save as many lives as you can. And these are children and women, and Israel's always going to give up terrorists for that. But at some point, I heard Hamas offered everyone back for a complete cessation of,
right,
activity. That would be disastrous. Israel cannot let Hamas survive, I don't think, at least here.
And supposedly they've either lost track of some hostages and also trading them to another terrorist group inside Gaza.
Yeah, and about a bunch of people are also held just by civilians and other people who pick them up. I mean, it's just a terrible situation. Babies and children and women. So, Israel's in a tough, tough spot. There's no real good answer for any of this.
Well, most Americans, I think, join me in praying for all of you and of course, for them as well in that area. Thank you very much, David, as always.
Thank you.
David Harsanyi, senior editor for The Federalist. Yeah, and every second of an extra pause they get, the more opportunity they get to build up and do more. Well, before we wrap up this hour, you're going to hear our Education Secretary Cardona make an absolute fool of himself, but also proof that the Biden cabinet is full of fools.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I got an email which brought a smile. A woman named Mary wrote me, "We are purchasing a new roof from John Beale based on your recommendation." I thanked her then. I do it again now. Mary, I only endorse clients I believe in, and I've been a spokesman for John Beale for 10 years. It's all about trust. So if, like Mary, you need John Beale, trust me. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
Vincent's Jewelers has the hottest gift for the holidays. Flexible bracelets. Quality, beauty, starting at just $150. And of course you'll want to check for rings, pendants, maybe watches. I suggest you check the website each day for new items and specials. VincentsJewelers.com. VincentsJewelers.com. Give Vincent's a chance for your business. Vincent's, locally owned, supporting local charities for more than 42 years. Vincent's, my only jeweler.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA. That's a big game, man.
President Xi is really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
This United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
Lit Cigar wins Best Smoking Lounge and Best Smoke Shop in the Riverfront Times Best of St. Louis listing for 2023. That is 2 years back-to-back. Lit Cigar Lounge and its new space in the district just off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit is for men and women who enjoy great cigars, premium drinks. The website keeps you on top of special events, including live entertainment. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com.
You should have closed your windows and got another dog. You should have chained up all the doors and switched up all the locks. And how many times have I prayed?
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Let me share a quote from Bernie Sanders, maybe one of your favorite senators, not mine. Of course, he likes to call himself an independent, but he always falls to the left. Bernie Sanders, I want to make sure you understand this. If you asked what is Sanders' religion, the answer is going to be basically he was raised Jewish, but Sanders admits he's not particularly religious, nor is he a member of any congregation or synagogue. Now, do you want to call him Jewish or not? That would be up to you. And, of course, in his words, his own words, that he's not particularly religious. Don't belong to any synagogue, no type of congregation. I mean, this is a guy that can't make up his mind on religion, much less politics. That's why he's independent. And beyond that, he's always going to be on the left side. Now, you would think wrong when I tell you this. You would think that, well, Bernie must have some belief that Israel has every right to be defending itself right now. No, he never has, and he's reemphasizing it now. Now he's out with a statement that Israel does not have a right to kill 12,000 people in 6 or 7 weeks. That's as if suggesting Israel went out with the intent, let's go kill 12,000 Palestinians. That was never their intent. Let me remind you again, look at your calendar. Prior to October 7, was there a war with Israel bombing and attacking Gaza Strip at all? None. As you heard my previous guest point out, Israel basically gave Gaza to the Palestinians. and moved some like 800 settlers out of the area, one, to make sure they would be safe and protected, otherwise they would have been massacred, but also to give even more land that at that time was being farmed and producing crops by the Israelis who were there. They moved them out, resettled them, and many of them were upset, and many in Israel were upset with that. But Israel was trying to find a way to make some kind of peace with the PLO. Well, the PLO lost control of Gaza, and Hamas took over. So now Bernie Sanders says Israel does not have a right to kill 12,000 people in 6 or 7 weeks. Well, if he's just saying that they decided to go in and start killing, I'd agree. But he's neglecting, purposely neglecting, why that's happening. One, Hamas started attacking innocent civilians in the streets of any Israeli kibbutz they could get into. Children, babies, women, old men. Occasionally they might grab an Israeli soldier. What's he say about that? And on top of that, the second point being, second point, he's not going to like any better than the first part. Second point being, if you're just going to allow Hamas to do what it wants and Israel's not supposed to do anything in retaliation, and then there's that other point being that Hamas is hiding in the midst of the civilians. That is why there have been maybe 10 to 12,000 people killed. And that number might well be inflated. We don't really know the number. We don't know. We may find bodies that amount to that, but we don't know if they were actually killed by the Israeli bombings or Hamas shooting and killing people as they were trying to run to safety, go to the south of Gaza. Because for hours, for days, Israel warned those around Gaza City in the north of the Strip, go south. Get down near the Egyptian border. We'll be hitting the north heavily. And now, of course, they're going to start moving toward the south. This is like backing someone into a corner. There will be no place else for them to go. So that's why suddenly Hamas says, hey, we'll let you have some hostages. We'll give you 10 today, maybe 10 tomorrow. Continue to hold your ceasefire. And yet there are reports that have been coming out that Hamas has been breaking the ceasefire. And there are fires reported at different places around Gaza. And immediately Hamas wants to say, see, this is Israel attacking us again. I'm not saying Hamas set the fires, but I can also see where situations have been smoldering literally since the attack began, and then they break into a bigger and larger flame. It's like anytime something like that would happen. But they want to blame it again upon Israel. And, of course, keep in mind, Iran is over all of this. Iran funds Hamas. Iran also funds Hezbollah in the West Bank and funds every terrorist act around the world. And this administration is more than willing to give them more and more money so they can carry out more terrorist activities. Well, maybe we give them money, they'll like us, won't hurt us. You'd have to be a fool to buy into that argument. But Biden and a lot in his administration and Biden himself apparently buy into it. But we're now watching several states recognize that we don't want anything to do with Iran in any way. 20 states have now taken action to prevent their pension funds and systems from investing in companies that do business in Iran's energy sector, which is its chief revenue source. Other states have gone further by prohibiting state contracts going to companies doing business with any part of Iran's energy sector. Last week, Florida went even more so. The Florida legislature passed a bill that Governor DeSantis signed into law the 14th of this month, greatly expanding the categories of scrutinized companies that will not be able to enter into contracts with the state of Florida. In addition to the energy sector, it's the construction sector, financial, manufacturing, metals, mining, petrochemical, port, shipbuilding, shipping, textile. So Florida now basically on the cutting edge when it's making sure that taxpayers-funded monies and activities do not end up benefiting Iran. And if every state followed up on that action, that would cut billions of dollars from Iran. We already know, of course, China's been doing this. And there have been efforts to begin to slow that down. In the state of Missouri, for example, the state shows that something like 42,000 acres of Missouri farmland purchased as of 2021 by China. And in fact, it found China owning 42,500 acres, as I say, New Zealand owning 16,000. No land in Missouri currently owned by Iran, Russia, Venezuela, or North Korea. But also, the state now has moved forward to back any more ownership of land going to China. And it's not just that we have to worry about it here. We have to worry about land across the nation for China. Milford, Utah. They do a lot of hog raising in Milford, Utah. You get within 20 miles, the wind's just right, you're going to know you're in hog country. Believe me. Well, in 2021, that seemed like a prime parcel of land for the Chinese because they bought some of this land. And despite being this meal-producing food for nearby hog-raising farms there, they bought this land that's very close also to an Air Force base, which is what they really wanted. They didn't buy it just to smell the hogs. They bought it because of what they could get out of it. In this case, it would be getting a lot of opportunity for spying on anything we're doing with our military. We still have legislators at the federal and the state level that just don't seem to get it. Or if they do, they're willing to sell out our country for money. Yes, I am also thinking about the Bidens in particular. And I'm going to spend more time on that in the second hour. You don't want to miss that. But before we go down that road in more detail, Education Secretary Miguel Cardona. If you're going to be the Education Secretary, you would think this is a scholarly person. And they know history. Now, we all, I don't care their great expertise, someone like me, great expertise in every field. I know everything. My knowledge is 40,000 miles long, quarter of an inch deep, but 40,000 miles long. I think Cardona outdoes me. He is the education secretary. Well, he proves that he fails at least when it comes to history.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I love this story about Education Secretary Miguel Cardona. He's certainly facing plenty of criticism this morning. He misinterpreted a famous Ronald Reagan line. Let's take a listen. Watch.
As I think it was President Reagan said, we're from the government. We're here to help. There are resources there, there's technical assistance there, and there's a playbook that could support the work you're doing. Count on us as a partner in this.
Well, unfortunately, our education secretary needs an education on history. Here's what Reagan actually said.
The 9 most terrifying words in the English language are, "I'm from the government and I'm here to help."
That was Maria Bartiromo. I wanted you to hear her say it. I could have done the same thing, but I wanted her to set it in position, and she did an excellent job. And yes, he's right. Reagan did say, "I'm from the government and I'm here to help." But he preceded that by saying the 9 worst words of the English language. In fact, every day, that's kind of how the Tim Jones and Chris Harps program begins. But all Cardona got out of it, Reagan said, "I'm from the government and I'm here to help," as if that's a good thing. If you think so, sir, you're an idiot. And if you didn't know better, if you didn't know in the context it was offered, you fail at history as well. Now, I don't know that he even wrote the words to put into his speech or someone else did, but he's taken the flak for it. And you know what happens? It all rolls downhill. So somebody on his staff is going to pay for it. He'll wash his hands of it. I want to bring you up to speed on a couple of things here. We have an unusual debate set for Thursday. This is going to be Florida Governor Ron DeSantis on the debate stage with California Governor Gavin Newsom. Now, Newsom, of course, is trying to position himself as a national figure within the Democrat Party, just in case, 81-year-old Biden takes a little stumble or a push or whatever. He wants to be there and be ready and prove that he's worthy. And so he wants to go up against DeSantis, and DeSantis is willing to do it, partly because former U.N. Ambassador Nikki Haley has been outdoing DeSantis in the debates. And maybe DeSantis figures this will work for him. Now, I like DeSantis. I think he's done a lot of great things for Florida. I like a lot of what he could do for the nation. He just hasn't picked up the traction he needs, because by far the runaway in the primary continues to be, Donald Trump. But anyway, this coming Thursday, we're going to see DeSantis and Newsom. And here's a kicker for this 90-minute clash. The moderator will be Sean Hannity. You got to admit, Sean Hannity coming in is already partial to DeSantis. I mean, we all judge moderators, are they already biased? Well, Sean Hannity will be biased, so we'll see how he tries to balance it. But against that backdrop, just announced the Americans for Prosperity Action, deciding that they're going to endorse a candidate for 2024. And they say, the good news is that we're in a position to do something about it. We know how to elect better leaders, better candidates. And we want a candidate who can turn the page and win going into this next election. And their candidate position choice is Nikki Haley, the Americans for Prosperity Action are endorsing Nikki Haley. And that's a big endorsement. They are saying that we're going to throw our full support behind Nikki Haley, who does offer the opportunity to turn the page on the current political era, win the Republican primary, and defeat Joe Biden. She has what it takes to lead a policy agenda to take on our nation's biggest challenges and ensure our country's best days are ahead. Donald Trump would disagree with that, obviously, over and over again. But they also add, in sharp contrast to recent elections that were dominated by negative baggage of Donald Trump, in which good candidates lost races they should have won, Nikki Haley at the top of the Republican ticket would boost candidates up and down the ballot, winning key independent and moderate voters that Trump has no chance to win. So, Nikki Haley now has the endorsement of the Americans for Prosperity Action. And their numbers and their money will be coming into play. Their numbers, something like, they're going to reach out to 6 million voters immediately. Coming up in the next hour, Iran hackers getting into our water supply. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.